a former congressman. He is running for United States Senator. He is Pete Hoekstra. Pete, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. Thank you. Good morning.
All right. Why in the world would you want to run for the United States Senate?
It is a phenomenal opportunity. Obviously, use whatever word you want to use to describe where America has been for the last few years, and we recognize that it's time and there's a need for a different direction, one that trusts the people of Michigan, trusts the people of America rather than the federal government, and that's the kind of message and the kind of policies I want to bring back to Washington, D.C., and I think that provides America with the opportunity to get jump-started.
You were very close to being the governor for the state of Michigan. You came very close to beating Rick Snyder. Why do you think you weren't successful in that campaign?
Well, I think Rick ran a very good campaign. And, you know, we just came up a little bit short. Rick had a very powerful message. Connected with people across the state. So did we. He just happened to connect with a few more people than what we did. But, you know, I think, we both ran very similar campaigns. I mean, obviously I've had some experience and background in politics. He ran as more of an outsider. But we both ran positive campaigns. We both talked about the future of Michigan and what we would do. On primary night, he ended up with a few more voters than what I did. But, hey, we ended up going through a campaign. We liked each other. We respected each other. And I think Rick's doing a pretty nice job in Lansing. So, and I'm fine with that. This was all about getting the state moving forward again. The voters selected someone who's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And I think the medium and the long-term impact for the state is going to be very positive.
We talked to you a couple days after that campaign. Of course, you were disappointed, but you said you're going to take some time off, and you decided, you know what, I've had enough of this craziness. I'm going to do some other things. There were a lot of opportunity for you. You were asked to run for the United States Senate. You declined to do that, and then people kept coming to you, talking with you. What changed your mind?
Well, I think Diane and I and our family, we did need to take a break. We did need a rest. Finally, what happened is that the case just became became overwhelmingly compelling that Debbie Stabenow needed a serious challenger, someone that could articulate an effective message and a counterpoint to her policies that she's been promoting. I think we have an opportunity to really unite the party and focus a campaign on the differences between my vision, our vision, and the vision and the policies that Debbie Stabenow had in it. And when I took a look at it, Diane and I took a look at it a second time again, it was, we're willing to commit to this. We're willing to commit to a 15-month campaign. We're willing to commit to, the 6 years in the U.S. Senate as we would be successful. And so we said, it's all lining up. Let's do this. We can win this race. Let's move forward.
We spoke with Randy Heckman. Actually, we've had him on several times just to talk about his campaign, and he said he was very disappointed when you jumped into the race because he had consulted with you before he decided to get in, and he said he wouldn't have got in if you wouldn't have got in, but he said he's in it for the haul now. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, Randy and I, we did talk, and Randy got into the race before I'd made any decision as to whether I was going to get into the race or not. Randy made his call on the information that he had available at the time. Randy didn't wait I wouldn't have expected him to. These are deeply personal decisions as to whether someone is going to get into a race or not and put their candidacies on the line. Randy and I both bring different strengths, weaknesses, vulnerabilities, positives, negatives to a race. I'm glad that Randy's in the race. I expect that he'll run a positive campaign. We'll both present our views, our visions, and our capabilities to the Republican primary voters for August of 2012. And once again, the voters will select the person that they think is the most viable candidate. And so, primaries can be a positive thing if they are run in a positive way. We did that in the governor's race. We went through a process with, Rick Snyder, Pete Hoekstra, Mike Cox, Mike Bouchard. At the end of that race, people felt good about the way that the Republicans had conducted that primary, and they felt confident and comfortable electing the eventual Republican nominee. We all left that race. It was a tough race, but we all had respect for each of the other candidates in that race.
We're talking live with Pete Hoekstra on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. Pete, just a few different items. Where has Debbie Stabenow gone wrong, and what decision would you have made to counter the move she's made?
Well, I think, consistently, Debbie Stabenow, especially in the last 2.5 years, I mean, she's been basically a rubber stamp for the policies of the Obama administration, whether it was the stimulus package that was supposed to prevent unemployment from going up above 8%. We're now above 9%, almost $1 trillion in government spending that has not resulted in stabilizing or turning around the jobs market. Her vote for Obamacare, which was a vote that clearly took away people's control of their health care and is going to empower a series of bureaucrats at the state and federal level to now make health care decisions for you. I think her desire to raise taxes, the regulatory environment that she supported. I mean, the bottom line on this, Tony, is you've got to take a look at the results and hold her and what will happen in the next election is hold President accountable, is to hold President Obama accountable for the disappointing results that we've seen from the policies that they have implemented.
Would you have voted for bailing out the Big Three?
Well, I mean, the money for the Big Three came out of the TARP account. I voted for that. In hindsight, I'm not sure that was one of the best votes I've ever cast. I've had a lot of regrets about that vote. It was supposed to stabilize the housing market. It was supposed to stabilize the banking community. It did that temporarily in the larger context when we followed up with another series of policies in Washington, D.C. It hasn't done what it was intended to do, which is to stabilize the economy and the jobs market and bring the economy back.
Yeah, I guess I should have clarified that. If you would have been senator, would you have voted for that? But it sounds like if you had it to do all over again, you take the vote back.
Well, you can't take a vote back, and I'm sure that's one of the things that we will talk about in this campaign. But you sure do learn from the votes that you have cast, and it has an impact on the future votes that you will make. This whole concept of too big to fail and those types of things, I think, is a policy that needs to be severely questioned. The other thing I think that you have to take a look at is that when you go from one vote to the next vote, you will not change the economy or move the economy forward based on a singular vote. It is a series of votes, any one of them may or may not be okay by themselves. But what we found with the TARP vote, when you tacked on to the TARP vote, a lot of the other policies that we put in place, we put in a framework that has given us the kind of results that we've had. And again, those have been disappointing results. No one can look around Michigan. No one can look around the country and say, boy, are we glad that we are at this point and things are going in the right direction. We are all looking at this, middle-aged individuals who've lost their jobs are having a great difficulty finding new opportunities. Our kids coming out of college are having a great difficulty finding that first job. you know, some of the best years in your life, that 25 to 35, where you're establishing yourself in the jobs market, you're putting some money aside for financial security, you're paying off student loans and those kinds of things. Our kids are just struggling with those types of
things. All right, Congressman, yeah. I have got to get the break. We will talk with you throughout the campaign. Thanks so much.
All right, hey, good. Good talking to you. Thank you.